Now the epistle to be read for the feast of the dedication of the basilicas of Saints Peter and Paul is taken from the book of the Apocalypse, chapter 21. In those days I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself with them shall be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and death shall be no more, nor mourning, nor crying, nor sorrow shall be any more, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 19. At that time, Jesus, entering in, walked through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief of the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the crowd, because he was of low stature. And running before, he climbed up into a sycamore tree that he might see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus was come to the place, looking up, he saw him, and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for this day I must abide in thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him with joy. And when all saw it, they murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that was a sinner. But Zacchaeus standing said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have wronged any man of anything, I restore him fourfold." Jesus said to him, "This day is salvation come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. This day is salvation come to this house, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Words taken from today's Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This morning, my dear friends, I would like to begin by telling you a true story about a great sinner, a devoted priest, and the mercy of God. The story took place in California many years ago. A certain priest was preparing to turn in for the night on one Sunday evening, when the phone suddenly rang at the rectory. It was a nurse calling from a hospital. And this particular hospital was about a 2-hour drive away from his parish. The nurse explained that a man was dying. He had no family. He was a baptized Catholic, and he needed to see a priest. It was not uncommon before Vatican II that nurses would call for a priest for a dying Catholic. But the priest was rather reluctant at first, but did agree to go. And thus he made the 2-hour drive to this hospital. Upon arriving at the hospital, he entered the dying man's room and introduced himself. The man turned and looked at him and immediately cursed at him, telling him to get out. This the priest did rather quickly. He was considering just leaving altogether, but he thought within himself that he must try again. He waited for an hour or so, praying Almighty God for guidance and mercy. He then entered the room again and said to the dying man, I am a Catholic priest. You are a Catholic and you are dying. Please, let me help you. The man's countenance flashed with anger as he again cried out in all manner of invectives, telling the priest to go. And again, the priest left the room. He left the room, but he could not leave the hospital. He must try again. Another hour passed. And as before, he entered the dying man's room and pleaded with him. This time, the man did not curse and swear, but simply grumbled, well, I may as well tell you. And then he began to relate to the priest the story of his life. 40 years previously, he worked on a railway signals box. Everything was done manually in those days. It was Christmas time, and he had been drinking. When the train was approaching, he pulled the wrong lever. The train went down the wrong track and collided into a car as it was crossing the lines. A woman and her 2 children were killed instantly. He told the priest that from that day onwards he had lived with the guilt of their deaths. He kept it to himself, never told anyone, and as it were, he got away with it. But his life was never the same. The guilt of having killed a young mother and her 2 small children ever gnawed at his conscience. And thus he had no peace, nor could he find peace in anything in this world. And thus he went on to tell the priest that he never married, but just gave up on having any kind of a life. He lived a most depressed life. He hated himself so much, he said, that he utterly despaired of God's forgiveness for so heinous a sin. Hell and all its torments and pains were his inheritance. Now, as he was talking, the priest was listening very intently to the story. And when the man finished speaking, the priest thought to himself for a moment or two, and then asked the man a few questions concerning the details of the accident, the time, and the place. When the man told him the place where the accident took place, the very day, the very month and year, the priest looked upon him and then said these words to him, I want you to listen closely to what I have to say. A detail of this fatal accident that you left out was that there was another little boy in that car. He lived. He grew up and he became a priest. He is here now speaking to you. And he forgives you for taking the life of his mother and his brothers. And he desires that you now accept the mercy and the forgiveness of God. The dying man was stunned. He soon broke down in sobs. And with true sorrow, he humbly confessed all his sins and received absolution. The priest then gave him the sacrament of extreme unction and the apostolic benediction. And thus, after 40 years, the tremendous weight of his guilt was removed from his heart and his soul. And he was finally able to forgive himself as he heard the words of God's forgiveness and the absolution imparted by the priest. And the words of forgiveness from the little boy who had lost his mother and his brothers. The man died in peace, filled with confidence in the mercy of God. In today's gospel, we have the account of our divine Savior passing through the city of Jericho. Jericho was an ancient city located just a little northeast of Jerusalem. It was a very wealthy city. And it was here that Zacchaeus, a sinner, lived. He longed to see our Savior, even as our divine Savior desired to see him. And not only see him, but impart his mercy upon him and absolve him of his sins. And thus, after Zacchaeus, on account of his short stature, climbed the sycamore tree in order to just catch a glimpse of Christ as he was walking by, our Lord came to a stop beneath the tree, and looking up at Zacchaeus, he called out to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down from that tree. For this day I must abide in thy house." What indescribable joy must have filled the heart of that man. He quickly made his way down the tree and welcomed the Lord of Majesty into his home. But some people there were quick to criticize, as people often are. They murmured and complained that Christ had made himself a guest of a sinful man. To this accusation, our Lord responded by declaring his divine mission on earth. "The Son of Man," he said, "is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And this Christ did. He went about seeking and saving that which is lost. And thus on that day, salvation came to the house of Zacchaeus." That is to say, God's mercy and forgiveness were bestowed upon him, even as he expressed sorrow for his sins and a firm purpose of amendment. "Behold, Lord, Zacchaeus confessed to Christ, Behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have wronged any man of anything, I restore to him fourfold. The account of Zacchaeus in today's gospel, my dear friends, like the parables of the prodigal son and the lost sheep, is a story about the mercy of God and his love for poor sinners. So great is the love of God for sinners that he goes, as it were, in search of them. And this was from the very beginning of time, when the first man committed the first sin. For as St. Alphonsus de Liguori writes, when Adam rebelled against the Lord and then hid himself from his face, behold God, he says, having lost Adam, goes in search of him, calls him, as it were, with tears. Since the fall of Adam and Eve down through the centuries, before the coming of Christ and after the coming of Christ, even unto our own day, God still does the same. He is ever searching for sinners, all sinners, and calling them to repent. Calling out to them, as it were, to change their lives. And although there are some who turn a deaf ear to the merciful call of God, our good God nonetheless does not cease to seek and to save, as our Lord tells us today, that which is lost. That is just how much God loves the souls of men. That is how much God desires the salvation of souls. It is really incomprehensible when we consider that he is infinitely perfect. He is infinitely happy with himself. And yet it's as if he cannot be happy without us, that he should go in search of us. And although he will not force anyone to turn to him, he will not force anyone to love him. Still, he does not tire, as it were, of seeking to save poor sinners by daily bestowing innumerable actual graces upon them. The mercy of God, St. Alphonsus says, is calling the sinner to repentance. He goes on to say that the Lord promises that if sinners repent, he will even forget their sins as if they had never offended him. For God knows not, St. Alphonsus says, how to despise a humble and contrite heart. It was thus, my dear friends, that our good Jesus, the God-man and Redeemer, sought out the soul of that dying man who accidentally but culpably killed that mother and her two little boys. The love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the mercy of God, pursued him his whole life. I do not believe it a mere coincidence that the priest who lived 2 hours away and who came to him just happened to be one of the little boys in the car to survive. And from the hands of that little boy, now a priest, the dying sinner, consumed with guilt and such self-hatred that he despaired, but was at length reconciled to God. So that in his last hour he died in the grace and love of God. We can thus say of him what our divine Savior had once said of Zacchaeus: "This day is salvation come to this house." My dear friends, we are all sinners. In one way or another, we are sinners. But no matter how great our sins were or are, we must never despair of God's mercy and forgiveness. Yes, we must do our part. That is, we must humbly and sincerely confess our sins. We must pray, especially in time of temptation. We must keep God's holy commandments. We must be firmly resolved to sin no more, to avoid the occasions of mortal sin. And finally, we must be good and devoted sons and daughters of Mary, the Mother of God. But my dear friends, as we strive to do these things, we must have confidence. We must have great confidence in the mercy of God. So convinced of the mercy of God towards sinners was St. Francis de Sales, that he once wrote these words: "The greater our misery, the greater should be our confidence." The greater our misery, he wrote, the greater should be our confidence. By these words, this great saint means to say that though we should be overwhelmed by the enormity of our past sins or present sins and failings, the greater should be our confidence that our divine Savior, Jesus Christ, will bestow his infinite mercy upon us and pardon us. Provided, of course, we are truly sorry for our sins. May we who are sinners, then, be filled with great confidence in the mercy of God and the love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, who was ever in search of poor sinners, who was ever seeking out poor sinners upon whom his Sacred Heart can bestow its infinite mercy. Even as we pray to Mary, the Mother of Mercy, every day, for never was it known that anyone who fled to her protection implored her help or sought her intercession was ever left unaided. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.